So I'm curious how many of you, and you can raise your hand, know that we have a monthly ministry theme. Wow. Yeah. So does anybody know what our monthly ministry theme is for the month of October? What do you think it is, Linda? Inheritance, absolutely. So the monthly ministry themes are a way to try and tie together some of the various things that we do together throughout our church experiences. And so some of the covenant groups may be using the monthly ministry theme to shape their conversations, but we also try and reference it in worship as a thread that connects things from week to week. It's a little different right now as we have different guest speakers coming in, but the ministry theme is designed to unite us and help us all be focusing on something similar together. So how many of you know that we have a monthly ministry image? A few. Well, if you think about that, you can reflect back on the altar decorations that you see throughout the month. The contemplative ministry team that creates the altar each month pays attention to the ministry image that we have. And this month's image is tools in a spiritual toolbox. So that's something to help you think about your own spirituality, what you're working on as a spiritual being, and a way to think creatively about what you might want to develop or focus on in your own spiritual life. And believe it or not, we just happen to have a toolbox here on the altar this morning. Look at that! And it actually has an inscription on the top of it. For those of you who are too far to see it, it says TJMC B&G. Anybody know what that means? Buildings and grounds. So this is a working toolbox. This is a toolbox that lives in the mailroom. But today, Janine and I have filled it with some symbols of our spiritual tools. And we'd like to invite anybody who'd like to come up to the red carpet to help see what's inside our spiritual toolbox this morning. So the young or the young at heart, if you want to come up and help us take a peek inside the toolbox, please come up to the rug. So what do you think I mean when I say a spiritual tool? What is a spiritual tool? Ollie.
It's a tool that you use to be spiritual. It's a tool that you use to be spiritual.
But what does that mean? Yeah, not sure. Yeah, it's a tool that you use to be spiritual. But what does that mean? Any grown-ups have an idea about what a spiritual tool might be? Bryce. A tool that can help you in your beliefs. Yeah. Anybody else have another? Greta.
Prayer.
Prayer. Yeah. Margo. Yeah, so items you might use, like a candle, or tools that you would have to help frame your mindset as you're doing your spiritual practice. Yeah, Patty. A practice that helps you learn more about where you need to go spiritually. One more, JJ. A tool to help connect with your better self. Wow, such rich and wonderful answers. I wonder what's in our toolbox. So, there are a few items in here, and I'm going to invite one person to come up without peeking and reach inside and pull one out. You want to come up and get one out for us? Janine, will you help her get one out? So you can stick your hand underneath the cloth and just see what comes out. What does that look like to you?
It looks like a brush.
Brush. I think this belongs to Janine.
Yes, I have a furry long-haired dog at home. And you may be wondering how a dog brush helps as a spiritual tool for me. So I will explain, because it's not obvious. My dog will lay down, showing her belly in contentment, ready to be brushed, and in her eyes is pure trust. I start to brush her slowly. It's very rhythmic, and it becomes meditative very quickly. I am in the moment, only concerned with gently getting rid of all those knotted hairs that she has without hurting her. But it's also, for me, a little more than meditative. It also helps me remember that she is a living human, living being. And it reminds me to be a better person, that I am better when I am giving service. Oh, yeah, let's see who wants to come. All right, go ahead.
I heard some voices up here saying, oh, it's the labyrinth. You want to turn around and hold that? So who do you think put that in the box? Yeah, it was me. So it's probably not a surprise to a lot of you that when I think of spiritual tools, I immediately think of the labyrinth. And I am so grateful that our congregation has four walkable labyrinths, one that we have outside in our backyard that we can walk anytime. And for me, it's an important spiritual tool because it helps me slow down. It helps me be mindful of each step and to really let myself either have my mind go quiet and see what comes to me, or to have something specific that I'm worried about or wondering about or holding that I'm able to take with me on my walk in the labyrinth. And sometimes I'm really hopeful that there'll be some kind of aha experience when I'm using this spiritual tool. But that's a false expectation on my part. It might be days later that I go, now I understand. But I'm grateful to have this tool and to have a place that has so many opportunities for others to use this tool as a spiritual practice as well. Thank you. All right, let's see. Barton, will you come up and choose one? Wow. You want to hold that? And I'm going to pass the microphone to Janine.
You can tell Lee and I took it from a little different angles this morning. I like to cook. My mother is a fabulous cook. She, probably like many of you others, know that some people show their love through cooking, and she was one of those. And so that is a piece that I inherited. It's my creative outlet. It's my humble version of, like, you know, the monks that make the mandalas. They spend hours and hours, and we all know it's very temporary as it washes down to the river when they're done. That's the cooking for me. That's what does for me. When I looked over my kitchen tools, I was like, well, what do I take? And I thought, well, maybe the thermometer, because it says I know when I'm ready. I'm ready for the next step. But I decided on the whisk, because the whisk has, you know, one job. It's usually used at the beginning of a creation. And the only job it provides is to muddle things, to scramble things, and to beat them so that you do not know the individual ingredient. Eventually, it becomes a uniform batter, but at the beginning, it looks kind of not very pretty, and you have to just continue through it to get to the end. And so that reminds me of the parts of life that it does feel a little muddled, muddled at times, but it's all part of the process. Okay.
Charlie's going to stand up and show everybody what he pulled. What do you all think that is?
A book.
A book? A journal? Yeah. Does anybody else in this room like to write as part of your spiritual practice? A few hands. Yeah. You try? Yeah. Well, for me, I find journaling to be a helpful tool. It helps me sometimes put a whole bunch of things that are just running around in my head down on paper, and then they're calmer and they're quieter. It also helps me sort things out, figure out really what's at the heart of what I'm thinking. So I like to be able to have a journal as one of my spiritual tools. So thank you, Charlie. You can set that down. We are going to invite everybody to go back to their seats now. Thank you for coming up and helping us explore what was in our spiritual toolbox. There are a few other things in here that we didn't have time to talk about this morning, so if you want to come up afterwards and look and see what else is in the toolbox, you're welcome to do that.
Good morning, everybody. Time for us to sing, so please rise in body or spirit as we sing hymn number 354.
It is both a joy and a privilege each time a family comes before us for a ceremony of child dedication. As many of you know, during a dedication ceremony, we offer the child being dedicated three symbolic gifts. The first is a flower symbolizing the beauty of life as well as dedication. Whether it comes to full bloom or not, whether it fulfills itself as a flower or not, depends upon the nurture it receives. No flower grows alone apart from the sun and the rain and the soil. So too, no child ever grows alone. The second gift is water, rain from the endless sky, to symbolize the nurture this child needs. All living beings need water. And finally, we use clay to symbolize the earth from which we come and to which we all will return. Clay from our Mother Earth, who sustains us and nurtures us all. Since this morning there is not a specific child being brought before us for dedication, I invite us to enter into a spirit of prayer, self-blessing, and rededication. Let us take in these words for ourselves and for all of our children. I invite you to embody this prayer by touching your own brow, your own lips, your own eyes, and your own heart. Please join with me in the spirit of prayer and meditation. Quiet your mind and your body, and touch your brow to rededicate yourself to a life of careful and good thinking. Now touch your eyes to rededicate yourself to a life of clear vision, unclouded by prejudice or fear. Now touch your lips to rededicate yourself to a life of honest speech. And finally, put your hand near your heart to rededicate yourself to a life of generosity and love. Notice your hand upon your heart as you rededicate yourself to a life of good work and meaningful work in the world. May the work of all of our hands and hearts and minds be blessed all of our days. And now I ask the children present in the sanctuary this morning to please stand so that we adults may see you and speak to you. And I ask the adults to remain seated and join me in reading the promise to all children as we bring our minds and hearts to all the children of our congregation. From your earliest infancy, we give you our love so that you may grow with trust in yourself and in others. We will recognize your worth as a person and help you strengthen your sense of belonging to the whole family of humankind. We will respect your right to be yourself and at the same time help you to understand the rights of others. We will encourage you always to seek the truth. We will provide you with every opportunity possible to develop your own understanding of faith. We will endeavor always to inspire you to act on your faith. We will encourage you to strive to make the world a better, more caring, more whole place to be. This we promise to you with all of our hearts. You may be seated. Alleluia, amen, and blessed be. And now we will sing.
Thank you.
It is wonderful to be together in multi-generational community this morning for worship. I have a question for everybody this morning, and that question is, how would you define the word inheritance? How would you define the word inheritance? Man. The things from the past that inform your life now. Ollie.
The things that get from old people, like not fair or the statue or something.
The things that you get from old people, like blonde hair or statues or something. Yeah. Celia. I mean, Lena, sorry. Something that's passed down from generation to generation, yeah. Lillian. Something that somebody gives to you when they die. Yeah. Suzanne.
The roots that hold you close.
The roots that hold you close. All such good answers. All such good answers. And all holding a piece of the truth. So this morning, let's go with the idea of inheritance, describing something that is passed on to somebody by someone. Maybe what is passed along is intentional, or maybe it's not. It could be genetic, like the color of your eyes, or a thing, like your great-grandmother's teapot. It could be a way of seeing the world, or a way of being, like having a commitment to work for peace. An inheritance could be a learning passed down through generations, such as how to garden, or the recipe for a special family food. You might have inherited some of your values from someone. Or you might have inherited traditions from the faith that you were raised in. An inheritance might be something you are grateful for and feel good about, a way of feeling connected to others or family. But it also might not feel good, and it might not feel like a way of connecting. Inheritances can be complicated and full of all kinds of feelings. Think for a minute about something you have inherited. Maybe it's the color of your hair, or your eyes, or your skin. Maybe it's something like a teapot or a painting. Or maybe it's a commitment to work for positive change in the world. See if right this minute you can think of something you've inherited. What do you know about this inheritance? What questions, if any, does this inheritance bring up for you? What feelings do you have about it? It might be hard to go very deep with these questions in the little bit of time that we have here right now. You might want to come back to these questions on your own and make space for deeper personal reflection later. You could think about it maybe as homework. Right now, I want to share a story with you that speaks to inheritance. See what it sparks in you. It's titled The Lump of Gold, and it's a retelling of a Buddhist Jataka tale. Once there was a village that was very prosperous. The wealthiest person in the village was afraid that the town's reputation would attract thieves. So they buried a huge lump of gold in a field for safekeeping. Many years passed, and the village lost much of its wealth, and the wealthy villager died, and all knowledge of the buried gold was lost. One day, a poor farmer decided to plow an abandoned field. And after several long days of plowing, the farmer struck something large and hard. The farmer thought it must be a rock or a tree root. But as they uncovered it, they were delighted to find a huge lump of gold. The farmer did not want to be seen carrying around such a piece of gold, so they covered it up loosely with dirt, determined to come back at night and to claim it. Night fell, and the farmer returned for the gold. However, it was really a huge lump of gold, and it was too heavy for the farmer to even lift, much less carry home. The farmer became frustrated at the thought of the potential riches being forever out of reach. After a while, the farmer decided to sit and think about the situation, and an idea occurred to them. I will break the lump of gold into four smaller pieces. Then I will be able to carry the pieces home. One piece will be enough for my day-to-day living for quite some time. One piece I will save for emergencies. One piece I will invest in my farm. And the fourth piece I will share with those less fortunate than me who are in need of help. And with a peaceful mind, the farmer broke the gold into the pieces and carried it home on four separate trips. And the farmer lived happily ever after. So, what do you think this story has to teach us about inheritance? Is there a hand on the side that I can't see? What does it have to teach us about inheritance? Even if we don't know that person, what was the next part you said? They can still give us something? Yeah, even if we don't, sometimes we get things from people we don't even know. Bob. Oh, there's another hand here. Xander. Ah, so he used part of his inheritance to help others. Yeah. Yes. You have to give it away to keep it. Nancy.
It's arbitrary who has extra.
It's arbitrary who has extra. Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Right, so he was able to divide it up, and that gave him more options or choices of what to do, and he was able to benefit, but others were too. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. This story could be about luck. It could be about being in the right place at the right time. It could be about life not necessarily being fair. It could be about an unexpected gift. It could be about how inheritance could be used to bless the world. As our story shows us, an inheritance, even if it seems like a positive thing or a gift, it can sometimes feel burdensome. We don't always know what to do with what we inherit. Sometimes we prize our inheritance so much and are gripped with fear that we will lose it or that it will be taken from us that we hide it or bury it. And then sometimes it gets forgotten or even lost. And I'm not just talking about gold. But perhaps the inheritance of things like a sense of humor, or an artistic skill, or a love of beauty. These can get covered up and lost too. Unless we take the time to think and to reflect a bit, we might not ever be aware of some of our inheritances. I invite you to think again about something that you have inherited.
Is it the same thing that you thought about a minute ago? Or is it something different? In our story, the farmer finds the piece of gold that she or he inherits from a villager of the past, an ancestor perhaps. The story tells us the farmer felt surprised. Look what I found! Unsure, what is this? And frustrated. I don't know what to do. It's too big for me to carry. The story goes, night fell, and the farmer returned for the gold. However, it was really a huge lump of gold. It was too heavy for the farmer to even lift, much less carry home. The farmer became frustrated at the thought of the potential riches being forever out of reach. After a while, the farmer decided to sit and think about the situation, and an idea occurred to them. I will break the lump of gold into four smaller pieces. Then I will be able to carry the pieces home. One piece will be enough for my day-to-day living for quite some time. One piece I will save for emergencies. One piece I will invest in my farm. And the fourth piece I will share with those less fortunate than me who are in need of help. And with a peaceful mind, the farmer broke the gold into pieces and carried them home on four separate trips. And the farmer lived happily ever after. I invite you again to bring to your mind and to your heart some of your own inheritances, the gifts bestowed on you by others, gifts you may embrace or not, that you may feel you deserve or not, and to sit with the question of what you will do with what you have inherited. The answer or answers may come quickly, or you may need to take some time to reflect and ponder, or even talk with trusted others who can help you come to some clarity. It is important that each of us engage with this reflection because it is soul work. We can use whatever spiritual tools we each have in our toolboxes to help us reflect on our inheritance, because our inheritance can become part of our personal legacy, what we each pass along for others to inherit. What I mean by legacy this morning is the story of your life, the things you do, the places you go, the goals you accomplish, your failures, and more. Legacy is something that a person leaves behind to be remembered by. Legacies can be pathways that guide us in decisions with what to do or with what not to do with our lives. We each have the opportunity while we are living to create our legacy, what we will pass along or leave for others. Our lump of gold, so to speak. As our story this morning tells us, the farmer took his or her inheritance and used it to help create a life and a legacy. The story tells us that after reflection, the farmer used the inheritance to create what she or he deemed a meaningful and responsible life. So another question for each of us to be with and ponder in the coming days is, what will I be remembered for? As some of you know, one of my spiritual practices is walking my dogs, Lucky and Maggie. Walking with them every day, usually twice a day, helps me stay connected to what's happening in nature and our movement through the seasons. Walking is also when I do some of my best reflective thinking. One day, not too long ago, I wondered as I walked, what would I want to have engraved on my tombstone? What I was really asking myself is, how do I want to be remembered? The short answer is, when I am no longer of this earth, I want to be remembered as loving, generous, and living my Unitarian Universalist values every day. My desire to be remembered this way helps guide me and gets me back on track when I misstep. How do you hope to be remembered? I want to know, and I would love to talk with you about your thoughts and your wishes. And if you would like to share with me, let's find a time when we can get together and visit. There is much to explore and contemplate as we think about both our inheritances and our personal legacies. As we go about our living, may we be blessed with the ability to embrace both the gifts and challenges of what we each inherit. And may we have the wisdom and the vision to create legacies with our lives that help heal our hurting world and liberate us all. Blessed be. I invite you to take a moment to reflect in silence on what we have heard.